Oh, praise God. Thank you, Tamrat. It starts with the anointing. So we're going to talk today. I'm just going to set my little thing so I don't go on too long. Keep somebody happy. So we're going to talk today about vision. And what Tamrat was saying, actually, and it'll be confirmed in what I'm saying about the role of the Holy Spirit before vision, but in order to accomplish vision. And I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking about the context of talking about vision with you all. And for me, really, we've touched on recently, you know, this sense of it's time to cross the line. It's time to go forward. It's time to move on. And what I want to touch upon this morning and in a couple of weeks' time is, I believe, some of the fruit, some of the things which God wants us to enjoy and believe for and inherit that we might go forward together. So in that sense, as a context, this is part of God's promise for us. And I want to encourage us that together we might go forward in what the Lord has for us. So, a new vision statement, but not a new vision. I want to talk about it in the context. I want to share with you today a new vision statement, but the vision hasn't changed. Some of you will be, yes. Others might be, oh. So I just want to talk through some of the stuff which I feel to help you understand. And I realize this is a little bit in-house today. But I'm hoping that those of us which are part of the church, or even visiting the church today, might just catch something of God's plan and his purpose for us as a group of people together. So first of all, I want to say this is the Lord's vision for us. I believe that what I'll be sharing, I hope you will be able to agree with me later. I've got some little booklets which everybody will be able to take home. What I'm sharing, I hope you'll be able to agree and concur with. This is the Lord's vision. It is based in here and on here for his people. It's not my vision. It's not Pastor Caesar's vision. It's not Bill Johnson's vision. It's the vision of the Lord. And I want you to begin to understand that. It's what he wants for us. Number two, it's big. We touched on this thing the other day. It's time to think big because God has got a big vision. God's got a vision for nations. All of them. Heaven talks about every people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation praising God. At the moment, there's still numbers of nations which have never even heard the gospel. But God's got a vision for them too. This is a big vision, but it starts with you, and it starts with me. So think big, but realize that we each have our own part to play in it. Number three, this vision that God's given us, it's expansive. It's freeing. It's not restrictive. Everyone can play their part. Somebody came to me the other day and says, is it all right if we do so and so and so and so? I said, does it work? Well, I think it would do work. Well, the answer is yes then. You know, if we can help fulfill the vision in whatever way, let's do it. I remember being in a meeting with a Colombian pastor, Pastor Ricardo. And people from different churches were asking all sorts of different questions. And in their mind, this wasn't quite fitting with what they thought was the vision. And they said to Pastor Ricardo, is it all right if we do cells this way? See. Well, is it all right if we do our meetings this way? Yes, see. Is it all right if we do this? Is it all right if we do that? See. See. Yes, 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 in Spanish, by the way. Yes. Yeah, basically, if it works, do it. If it's going to help us fulfill the vision God's given us, do it. It's freeing. It's not restrictive. It's the vision that God's got for us. Number four. It's more than G12, or at least what some of you think G12 is. This vision includes cells and 12s, but it's much, much more than cells and 12s. This is a vision, as I've said, to impact nations. It's a vision to touch our families. It's a vision to make a difference in our schools and in our workplaces. It's a vision where we want to see the youth impacted, where we want to see politics affected, where we want to see business impacted, where the poor have the gospel preached to them. Anywhere God has put your heart on. That's why I say this is a big vision and it includes all of us. And that's my fifth point, it's for everyone. This vision is for everyone. It's not just for me. It's not just for Jackie. It's not just for a selected few. It includes all of us. You might say, Neville, why are you saying all this? Because some of you don't realize how big and glorious and freeing this vision is. Isaiah says in, I think it's chapter 57, touches on it in 62 as well. He talks about a highway. And in this highway, he says, you know, you need to remove the stones. You need to remove the boulders. And I want to say that's what I'm going to be trying to do a little bit today. I'm not going to be emphasizing and focusing on that. But I want you to get understanding and revelation to begin to see that these arguments I have don't stand. These restrictions I have, they don't exist. These misconceptions that paralyze are going to be dealt with. Amen? It's time to remove the stones. It's time to remove the boulders. And in Isaiah 40, the prophet prophesies that the glory of the Lord might be revealed. Amen. He has so much for each one of us. This is an exciting vision. And so either through not so good communication in the past or maybe not so good hearing, I feel some of us have ended up with a vision which they think we hold to, which they're not sure how much they can be involved with. And I want to break that barrier down and say this vision is for everyone. You know, when somebody comes up to me, somebody that used to be in the church, well, didn't come directly to me, came to somebody else, and said, yes, but is LifeSpring Church allowed to do Alpha? I'm thinking, where are they coming from? If it works, do it. We've done Alpha for over a decade, and we have people here sitting today who've come through Alpha. And this was somebody in the church that thought that we weren't, or used to be, that thought we weren't allowed to do Alpha. Somebody else, you know, and this was while they were in the church, said, but the trouble with the vision that LifeSpring has, it doesn't include evangelism. It's not very evangelistic. And I'm thinking, I can't believe this. We've had people in the past leave us because it's too evangelistic, because they don't want to go and tell people about the Lord. That's a little bit uncomfortable. And now I'm having an argument in a different direction saying, but it's not evangelistic. You see, I want to pull these things down because this is the Lord's vision. And the Lord's vision includes that word go, which is 2/3 of God's name. Two parts of our vision statement, and as I say, a new statement, but not a new vision. And the first thing we want to say is building church. This is the first part of our vision statement, building church. I'm going to be talking about this more in a couple of weeks' time, but it's such an important, clear, distinctive. And maybe some people think, well, this is where there's a little bit of restriction. And I want to touch on that a little bit more next week. But let me just quickly say, all vision restricts. All vision restricts. You know, if Neville here wants to be a Labour MP, actually Neville here has to join the Labour Party. If I was Tory, if I was STP, I couldn't be a Labour MP. Do you understand what I'm saying? I couldn't actually not even be part of any group. If I want to be a Labour MP, I've got to be part of the Labour Party. There's a restriction which comes my way if my goal is to fulfil that vision of being a Labour MP. Yeah? If I want to go to Wales from here, and I have a vision to go to Wales, well, I'm going to have to cut out the thought of climbing over Ben Nevis. I'm going to have to cut out the thought of going on Eurostar to Paris, because that's not going to get me to Wales. The vision is down the M4, that's the best way. Some of you might not want to go down the M4 and you can try the A roads and everything else, but Ben Nevis and Paris aren't going to help you. There's a restriction. If that's where we're going, guys, we need to come down that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So all vision restricts. Even God's vision restricts. And I think this is a challenge for us because he says he wants everyone to be saved. Everyone to be saved. But do you know what? He says the gate's narrow. There's a restriction. You can't follow Buddha and get to heaven. There's a restriction. I am the way.
truth, and the life. The only way to heaven, the only way to eternal life and salvation is through Jesus Christ. Do you understand? There's a restriction. There's a narrow way, and yet the vision is for everybody to be saved. So we'll touch on that a little bit more next week, but you know, there's a right sense where vision needs to restrict. But I want to talk today, that's the first part of the statement, building church. If you like, that's foundational, and I want to get back to that. Because if I was going to be building a house, I would want to see what it's going to look like rather than what's underneath the ground. Yeah? You know, what would inspire me would be to see a beautiful house. You know, with bathrooms and bedrooms and rooms and this, that and the other. Now the architect will then come and tell me, but in order to do all of that, you've got to do these big foundations and these deep things and everything else down here. But that's not so inspirational in one sense, is it? You know, the vision is the house. So we'll touch on that other bit next week. So the second part of our vision statement, building church to make a difference. That's simple. We haven't had a vision statement for a long, long time. But I think for, as we chatted this through with leaders and others in the church, it just seemed to be such a simple statement. We're here to build church to make a difference. I hope you can all agree with that. I hope you feel that's broad. That really includes anybody and everybody. God's called us to be a church to make a difference. In Acts 1, verse 4. Where are we up to on here? Okay. I'm not sure now. we'll keep it like it is, Craig. That's fine. In Acts 1, verse 4, Jesus says this. While he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Tamrat said, Amen. Where is he? So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, when we came up with a vision statement, we could have said all sorts of things. Building church to bring in the kingdom of God. Building church to impact communities with the gospel. Building church to carry the aroma of Christ everywhere we go. Building church to be salt and light or to make disciples. And they're all true. That's what God's called us to be. But what we wanted to end up with was a little statement that not just people in this room could understand. You know, some of us might not understand what the kingdom of God is, yet alone those out there. Or to be salt and light. I mean, somebody just told me this morning, salt's bad for you, you know. So they might not understand it out there, yet alone in... We might not understand it here, yet alone out there. So we just wanted to come up with a little statement that we hope will, people will be able to see. LifeSpring is about building church to make a difference. To make a difference? Where? Well, in our own lives. It all starts with us. Do you remember that song we used to sing? Let revival start with me. If we want to make a difference out there, it needs to start in here. In our homes. In our communities. Work. School. University. Young people. Old people. Toddlers. In our town. In Reading. We want to make a difference in Reading. In our country. And even the nations. You see, I don't think we can get much of a bigger vision unless you're believing there's lost souls in Mars or planets. I mean, we're going to the ends of the earth. And that's what Jesus said, wasn't it? The Holy Spirit's given that you might be witnesses in Jerusalem, where you live, where you are, starting with you, in Samaria, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. It's the Holy Spirit. Without him, totally impossible. But that's why he's come, to enable us to make a difference. That's why he's come, that we might be witnesses. It's him making a difference in our own lives, which will help us make a difference in other people's lives. So the vision starts with you and it starts with me. The Christian life has to make an impact. Do you agree with me? The Christian life has to make an impact. The key is the connection with the Holy Spirit. The key is the connection with our head, Jesus. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. But if you cut that branch off from the vine, it dies and doesn't bear fruit. But Jesus promises that as we are connected to the head, as we're connected to his body, as we're connected to him, then his life, his sap, if you like, from the vine illustration, will flow through us and it has to produce fruit. Fruit is inevitable when we're connected to the head. So don't expect or believe for fruit if you're not connected yourself to the head, who is Jesus. It's his life in us. It's his spirit. It's his love. It's his power. John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he might increase. And I want to put this challenge to you because I think we will find we will be so much more fruitful when we decide to bring ourselves down and raise the Lord up in our lives. When we begin to decrease and let him increase. Because then the power of God, the love of God, the glory of the God will be less diluted. And it will be more poignant and strong that others might hear and might know and might see. We carry the aroma of Christ. We are treasures in earthen vessels. We can make a difference. Amen? Matthew 5. Matthew 5 verse 13 says this. You, church, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You see, we are called to make a difference. Salt flavours. It brings out the best. That's our role. That's what will happen in our workplaces, in our schools, in our universities, wherever we are. It preserves. It purifies. A little bit of salt affects a lot. I want to encourage us, let's be intentional about being salty. Jesus says if you're not salty, you're not good for anything. So let's be salty for him. You know, when you're at school, Jeff, be intentional about having an impact and an effect at school. When you're with your neighbours, be intentional about letting that light, that flavour, that goodness shine out of us. You, Craig. And he goes on to say, you are the light of the world. Did you notice the difference there? That was all planned. Thank you, Craig. Can you just turn it off a moment, Craig? Again. You are the light, keep it off for a moment. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Craig, let's just begin to shine that on a little bit more. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do you know, light is powerful. Darkness, as you've just seen, cannot stand against light. It has to go. And Jesus says, we're the light of the world. He says, I'm the light of the world. We're in the same sort of category here. And he says, you are the light of the world. Wherever light is, darkness has to go. And he's called us to be light in every situation and in every circumstance, that people may see our good deeds and give us a pat on the back? No, that they may see our good deeds and give glory to God. I want to encourage us, church. This is simple stuff. We can make a difference just by being salt and light wherever we go. I think some of us need to be a bit more intentional about it, but we can make a difference because it's his life in us. And what does light do? It dispels darkness. Always. It always has to give way. When the sun comes up, the night has to go. There's no argument. It exposes. It warns. It shines. It illuminates. It creates an environment for life to grow. That's our role, church. That's why when we're in our workplaces, there should be peace, there should be joy, there should be stuff around us because we are bringing the light of the gospel, the presence of Jesus, everywhere we go. It's what we're here for, to be good news. So I want to encourage us. This is a good vision, isn't it? And this is the Lord's vision. It's very, very simple. We are called to be salt and light. And the more salty we are, and the more light that shines, will be because of our connection with him. And so he's given us the Holy Spirit, that we might be witnesses. Without him, we're not going to have very much light shining, and we're not going to be very salty. But with him, we will have an impact, an effect, not just in meetings, but wherever we go, including our homes. It's what we're here for, to be good news. Jesus went about doing good everywhere he went. Acts 10:38 says, and I want to say, and so should we. Everywhere we go, let's look for opportunities to do good. Let's be a blessing. Let's be happy. They don't want miseries. Let's be joyful. Let's be positive. Let's be men and women of hope. When they're criticizing the government and the state we're in and everything else, we're not relying on the government. Our hope comes from heaven. We've got something else to say. Let's bring in hope and light and faith into an environment which can be so negative. We can be positive because, as I said the other day, the future's bright. You know, gross darkness, the scripture tells us, will cover the earth. But the glory of the Lord will arise on the people of God and we will shine as lights in darkness. The darker it gets out there, the greater will be the light, will be seen to be the light, which is shining in us. Is this okay?
Yes.
Let's be intentional. Let's take this light out. We can make a difference. Hallelujah. Jesus went about doing good. I was challenged the other week. I was reading in one of the epistles, and every 5-6 times in one small epistle, Paul says, teach them to do good, go about doing good, help people do good, do good, do good. And our sort of evangelical churches have thought, works won't save you, so we'll just have faith. But faith without works is dead. There needs to be goodness around us, because it's goodness. God is good. And goodness needs to come out of us too. The street pastor thing, the door of hope, toddlers, faith, all of these things. I imagine Big A are on strike and all this stuff, aren't they? Just imagine the effect if the church went on strike for 1 week. This country would close down. 70% of youth work in this nation is done by church. There wouldn't be funerals, there wouldn't be weddings, there wouldn't be all that sort of stuff. But just the influence that we would have in so many different ways, if we were to go on strike, it would impact this nation beyond what BA or anybody else is able to do. Yeah? Because there's a goodness. The government rely on the faith groups. And I say faith groups, but it's 90% Christian because the others aren't so involved in stuff. So we need to go and feed the hungry. Who would look after the homeless if the church didn't? Who would be caring for the poor if the church didn't? So let's care for the poor, care for the hungry. Help with the toddlers, visit the prisons, visit the lonely. Be a blessing. Wash the dishes. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, too long time ago to remember, the thing that my dad noticed, who was a little bit suspicious about what had happened to this young son of his, was that I was offering to wash dishes more than I'd ever washed before. And it was that began to make him go to the elders of our church then and say, what's happened to my son? something's different about him. It wasn't the meetings I went to. It was something as simple as that. There was something in me which wasn't in me before, because the Spirit of God had come, and I was a witness. So wash dishes, bake cakes, just make a difference wherever you go, in Jesus' name. I believe that's what God is calling us to. Just a few more thoughts. Luke 12:48 says this: from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We have a responsibility to be good news, and the Lord expects that to be the case. But we also have a responsibility to be proclaimers of good news too. I was thinking of it this way. Being good news works for the now. Somebody who's hungry, we can give them a sandwich. Somebody who's cold, we can give them a blanket. Somebody who's lonely, we can give them some company. Yeah, that works for now. But God's heart, actually, is for eternity. So let's be good news now. But let's have the gospel in our hearts, because we're concerned about eternity. We're concerned about souls like Jesus is. I said at the beginning, this is the Lord's vision. And the Lord has left us here and all the other churches that we might be good news and proclaim good news, because that's what's on his heart too. Romans 1 says this. This is Paul. He says, I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and the uneducated alike. I am eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news, for I am not ashamed of this good news, the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, starting with the Jews and then the Gentiles too. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Let's not be ashamed of this gospel. This good news which we carry is for us to proclaim. Here's a sandwich in Jesus' name. But actually, the Lord wants your soul too. Yeah? And they need to know that. You know, if we give them a sandwich now and leave it at a sandwich, when they die, that's it. But if we give, sorry, I'm talking about homeless people, but it could be anybody. If we give them what people are needing now, that's good. And they'll see God's good and God loves them. But if we can help them see, but they need a saviour too, that's even better. Because in 70 years, they probably won't be here. But they will be if they receive the gospel. They'll be living for eternity. And they'll be with the Lord forever and ever. And they'll be saved from death and hell and judgment and destruction, as we have been. So there's something that compels us, needs to compel us to share. Jesus, part of Jesus' vision is to do good, but it's also to go and make disciples. I want to close almost now. I just want to read you. One of my heroes is William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army. And I just want to read you a little bit about him. It says this: on April the 9th, 1865, the Civil War ended. And in the same year, a 36-year-old Englishman by the name of William Booth declared war on the powers of darkness by founding the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army's success at freeing the captives was uncanny, especially when one considers those it strived to reach. General Booth's battle cry was, "Go for souls and go for the worst." The worst of sinners were saved, saloons were closed, and entire cities were shaken for God. Booth's success attracted not only supporters, but also enemies. Those who served in the army, Salvation Army, were pelted with hot coals, sprayed with tar and burning sulphur, beaten, stoned, and even kicked to death in the streets. General Booth himself was often in the thick of it. When spit on during the Midlands tour, Booth encouraged his fellow soldiers, "Don't rub it off, it's a medal." Night after night, Booth would come home bleeding and bruised after being attacked for preaching in the slums of England. After such nights of testing, he would take his wife's hand and say, "Kate, let me pray with you." After praying with Catherine, he would rise from his knees, armed with fresh courage and hope. Booth needed all the valour his wife Catherine could inspire in him. She encouraged him, "If we get tired, we had better go and be done with. Anything is better than a dead church." Despite the grinding pressures of the ministry, the Booths had a happy family. Once while travelling, General Booth's car was detained. He took advantage of the opportunity and exhorted some idle factory workers. He said, "Some of you men never pray. You gave up praying long ago. But I'm going to say to you, won't you pray for your children that they may be different?" Within minutes, 700 men knelt in silent prayer. At another time, two Salvation Army officers set out to found a new work, only to meet with failure and opposition. Frustrated and tired, they appealed to the general to close the rescue mission. General Booth sent back a telegram with two words on it: "Try tears." They followed his advice and they witnessed a mighty revival. During the course of William Booth's ministry, he travelled 5 million miles, preached 60,000 sermons. God help us in this desperate and distracted day in which we live to heed the general's advice. Work as if everything depended upon your work, and pray as if everything depended upon your prayer. I don't know what lies ahead, church. William Booth is one of my heroes. The Salvation Army at least was such a powerful force, not just in this country and in the nations of the world. It was much more than a social club. They wanted to feed the hungry, but they wanted to see souls saved. And when these two members of the army came to General Booth and they said, "We tried this, we tried that, we tried everything else, it's just not working in here." And he sent that message, "Try tears." He was basically saying, it's love, it's compassion, and it's the heart of God you need. And if you have his heart and his love for the people you're trying to reach, they'll begin to respond. Church, I'm just not talking about a vision which is just black and white and this. This starts with God. It starts with him touching our hearts. It starts with him giving us a desire to push through, to persevere when things are hard and when things are tough. Because we're going to try tears too. We're going to cry out to God for souls. We're going to cry out to God that we can make a difference. I'm going to pray that we need to get to this place where we work hard and we pray hard. And we work as if everything depended on our work, but we pray knowing actually everything depends on prayer and the power of God flowing through the people of God. So as I say, I don't know what lies ahead. I just know God's given us such an incredible privilege to be part of a church, his church, with a high calling to go and make a difference everywhere we go. So I just want to leave you with these thoughts. Last one, please. Let's go and be good news. Be intentional. How can I help? How can I serve? How can I bring hope? Let's go. And we're looking for those opportunities to share good news. That we can share, Peter says, talking about the hope that's within us. We're looking for those opportunities to share. Let's go and make a difference for Jesus everywhere we go. And this is what Life Springs living for. And I hope you stand with us and agree together that you can play your part in where God's leading us. Amen. I have up here a number of little booklets which we've produced, and we're going to be using these in cells over the next few weeks, well, after Easter. Please come and take one. Well, I can pass them around. Should we pass them around? John, would you mind passing them around? It's a little bit more specific than what I've talked on today. I've just tried to paint an overview. And in a couple of weeks' time, I want to talk about the first part of the vision, which is building church, because that's one of our distinctives. If we could at least give one to couples at the moment. I'm just not sure how many we've got. We're going to produce a few more. In here, I'm hoping you'll find there's a breadth and a vision that you'll say, yeah, I could be part of that. I want to be part of this church because I want to connect with the Lord and with each other that we might make a difference and believe God for differences in our homes, in our families, in communities, in Reading, United Kingdom, and even